Bible, and I'm sure y'all know what I'm talking about, or in the New Testament. It's in John chapter 11, and it was the story of Lazarus there. Mary and Martha, you know, they were so upset that their brother had died, you know. And there that was a horrible circumstance in their life. And, you know, their brother died, you know, sometimes in life, you know, life throws us a curveball. Mm-hmm. And, but Jesus here, you know, it says Jesus wept when he heard of it, you know. And I've heard a lot of measure on this, but I was listening to Creflo Dollar this morning. And if you look at the story here in John chapter 11, I want to just begin reading. It's in 11 and 32. It says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also came which with her, he groaned in the spirit. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he says, and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. You know, people focus on that. Jesus wept. And then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. But this Jesus wept. This is just what him crying because he heard of somebody dying. The scriptures before talks about him groaning in the spirit. And the scriptures after that, if you'll read also, that he was groaning in the spirit. He was praying in the spirit. He was travailing in the spirit. And we see from that story what? We see the resurrection of Lazarus. You know, we see him, you know, Jesus called him forward. But how was it done? It was done by prayer. Prayer is so important. We talk about communion with God, seeking the Lord, trusting in the Lord. But that, you know, here in these last days, we see the resurrection of Lazarus there. Mm-hmm. And we think of the resurrection of the church. Mm-hmm. So, is it needful that the church, the body of Christ, groan and travail in the spirit to see forth, you know, the resurrection coming. Mm-hmm. But I thought I'd share that with you. Now, we've been studying on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he was there helping Jesus, you know, that day. And how much more we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us pray, to intercede for us, and direct us and guide us.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's a blessing.
Brother Thurston, you ready to come?
Yeah.
All I know.
We're going to start the Holy Spirit class. We're on page 106. We made it to 106 last week. And we're dealing with the spirit of supplication. And, These prayers and this that she gave give a lot of insight. And I probably won't make it but maybe one or two pages. Because I saw some things that was just a blessing yesterday. And, the spirit of supplication. I'm starting in the middle. Underneath the spirit of grace, it says, Roman number 6, spirit of supplication. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And she quoted Zechariah 12 and 10. She said, we do not use the word supplication very often in our vocabulary today. Supplication is by definition an entreaty, a humble, earnest prayer in worship. A humble, earnest prayer in worship. A petition. It is, in its broadest meaning, the word embraces the entire realm of prayer. The spirit of supplication, the Holy Spirit executes the office of prayer, governing the communication department between our spirit and God. God is spirit and our inner man is spirit. You know, the spirit of supplication comes to establish us in a prayer relationship with God so we can commune freely with him. And she said, communion with God doesn't mean just saying prayers at certain times. It involves living a life of prayer. Incorporating the word in your life. This is the communion I love. Most of my praying is communion. I'm talking to the Lord. He's talking to me. She's in the next paragraph, she talks about how it's not confined to a certain place like a prayer closet, which is important. But I pray all day. I ask the Lord my questions, and I want to know what he has to say to me. Sometimes he'll give me scriptures, and as I study those scriptures or listen to them, some things just jump out at me, and it'll start a conversation. And I ask him for more clarity, and we'll dialogue about that particular verse or chapter. And the spirit of our prayers avail much. What we say goes on the earth. You have authority on the earth, not God. You do. And Jesus has all power over heaven and earth too. He can appear and talk to people if he wants to. But he commissioned us to run the earth and pray over. That's why sometimes the Lord may wake you up and have you pray for a person that you know. And sometimes he may wake you up and just you're sensing your heart to pray in the Holy Spirit. And he'll have you praying in the Holy Spirit. Always obey him when he do that. Pray until you start laughing. Till you get, Kenneth Hagin used to say, a note of praise to let you know that it was all done. You don't know what happened, but he does. The Lord has to do everything legally to satisfy heaven's court. In other words, he can't just come and do something because he wants to. He has to get somebody to believe him for it. And then he'll do it. So when he has you to, you know, back in 94 or 95, I saw a girl I used to go to Sunday school with, and she went to my dad's church. I hadn't seen her since I was a child. I'm saying around 10, maybe 10 or 11 years old, last time I saw her. And I saw her face, and the Lord said, pray for Connie. And so I prayed in the Holy Spirit, and I started doing something else. And a few days went by, and I saw a face again in a vision. And he said, pray for Connie. And this time, I really prayed for her. And a few weeks went by, and I told my mother about it. My parents didn't, they weren't going to Utah anymore. They were, my dad started pastoring a church in the Palmdale area, where we grew up in Village Springs. And I told my mama what happened. And she said, she was still in communication with people that lived in Utah. In Utah, Alabama. And she said that at the city hall, Connie was in some kind of trouble. And I believe she was innocent. I believe they tried to frame her or something. But right after she said, I was watching the news and I saw her on TV. You know, she was walking to the city hall and they had the camera. The Lord, he can cause, you know, he gets somebody to pray so that he can do something about the situation. And that's all I know about it. What I told Jess, I don't know the details. I don't know what happened. But I earnestly prayed for when the Lord told me to. And I believe it worked. Now, the Lord, the Spirit, when we dialogue with the Lord, and when he'll point us in the direction, you know, for us to walk in or pray in or help others. Sometimes he may give you wisdom specifics for people, and you tell them, and it helps them. These are the priceless and holy things of God. This is more; these abilities is more important to me than receiving any amount of blessings, any amount of gold or cars or houses. The ability to be a blessing to mankind. To that's on the top shelf. I mean, you can't. These things that people are after, it's gonna, just like Pastor said, it's gonna become a great big pile of ashes. So when he come back and when he restore the earth and he gonna burn it up, it won't mean anything. But people can make it to heaven. What we do now can make the difference. We can get people saved. Our influence can inspire others to do the things that Jesus did. And so I seek the Lord, I want to know things so that my life will work. I want to know, and you know, I said, Lord, I want you to teach me how to live. I want to thrive in life. I don't want to just exist. And then I learned something, though. I said, a lot of people focused on the success of their ministry or the success of their business or their well-being or their children. They focus on these needful things. And it's good. But if you're trying to do something, don't focus on what you're trying to do. Focus on Him. Because that's the pattern that He set. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. And He didn't say things will be multiplied. He said, He used the word added, and He did it on purpose. Solomon said, if a man try to become rich, he's going to pierce himself through with many sorrows. Because if you're trying to get rich, that means you're focusing on the riches. And if you're focusing on the riches or anything beside God, then what? It's not that God is going to get you for focusing on the riches. But if you're given the riches or anything, it could be a problem if you focus on problems. Anything that's got your attention captive is distracting you from what He will be saying. The things that God will give you, He'll show. If you focus on what He's saying, you'll receive His information, and you'll see everything in its right perspective. You'll begin to have understanding. And when good opportunities come, which they do, you'll grab them. When false opportunities come, you'll shun them. And it won't slow you down. But when that's out of place, then it takes a lot longer to prosper. And when your spiritual wealth comes from being a blessing to others, it's not from receiving. People look at what you receive, and then they say you're blessed. But with God, who you're blessing causes spiritual wealth to come on your life, not what you receive. And eventually you're going to receive whatever you are out. It'll be added. But you'll have spiritual wealth. And it compounds. So, and it even compounds inside your praying. The Lord, you can have spiritual wealth and spend it in your prayers for others. And it'll cause you to have more spiritual wealth. It compounds. It multiplies. And the things will be added. But you don't need the things because you're complete in Him. You don't need people to do right by you. You don't need anything out there. You don't need, I know we need houses and transportation, things like that. But what you don't have cannot stop the fact that you're complete in Him. And when you're complete in Him, you can do all things through Christ. And eventually you'll have everything that a man would want. And the word says that when the Lord bless you, it'll be without sorrow, and he'll bless you to have good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, the things that are added to your life will eventually be, you'll be able to give. You'll become wealthy on earth, and you'll be able to contribute to others. And even in that, you have to do it by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. If you give people money at the wrong time, it can cripple them. But if you do it according to the Holy Ghost, it will help. But now all these things are inside the spirit of supplication. God thinks, He thinks of everything, every need you have, where you're going, what He wants you to do. And the faster He gets you strengthened and positioned to be a blessing, the more He can bless your life. A lot of times people don't draw near to the Lord because they're afraid that he'll give them an assignment that they don't want. But when God gives you an assignment, it's going to be important to you. The assignments are in here. There's a thriving desire to do this. When he first tell you what to do, you know, when he first gave me Live and Letter Ministries, I knew all he said was Live and Letter Ministries, but I knew what to do. And I embraced that assignment. And it's like putting cookies in the oven. I let it bake. I said, thank you, Lord. The reason I was like that was because he gave me revelation, a lot. And then I saw needs in people, and I wanted to be a blessing. But I didn't have a platform to relay these wonderful truths to people. And I tried to share it with anybody that'll listen. And sometimes it wasn't well received. To me, they were pearls. To them, it was worthless. or it seemed like it was worthless. So when he gave me that assignment, I said, now I can write these thoughts down and distribute it to people. And I would get people's address and put them on the mailing list. I started with churches. But I embraced that assignment because now I can deliver what God has been. And every time you do that, he give you more. He give you more when you're doing something with what he give you, you're going to receive more. Because you're growing, you're hearing what he says, and you're helping other people be the same kind of blessing. So now, God, in his wisdom, he's going to give you more knowledge and more understanding and more clarity, and it happens faster. All these things happen. It comes from communion with the Lord. And you know how I teach. I love the heart of God. It's going to multiply things in your life. Your abilities will increase. The capabilities that you already have, you'll be more aware of. Just like when I learned to rebuke the storms. Mr. Austin was the first. I talked about how the Lord told him, you have enough faith to rebuke that storm. When he said that to me, I knew that if he could do it, I could do it. Because all God needs is faith. All he needs is people that believe him. So I got excited. So the next storm came, I started, I didn't think it was stupid. I didn't feel foolish rebuking the storm. But when you don't know, when you don't know your capabilities, you may feel foolish for even attempting to do something like that. But I did it, and then it worked. And I was surprised. And I learned, you know, when you're doing God's work, don't be surprised. It's got to work. It has no choice. And these things come with communion, with everything that we misunderstood, all the teaching that was wrong, you know, they breed doubt. The fiery darts of Satan is nothing but doubt. It works against, it gets you to believe that the word's not true. And when you know you can't say the word's not true, well, you're not skilled enough yet. That's a lie too. Every Christian can do this. If Jesus did it, you can do it now. But just like Ray said, it don't always register with your mind. But positionally, if the blood of Jesus washed you, you have the ability in real time to do this. And then when you do it, you'll be surprised at the fact that it worked. Now, when Peter was in jail, the church got together and prayed him out. When the angel opened the gate and he walked all the way to the house where they were praying. Well, now, you ever thought about why didn't he go to another house? He went where they were praying. That was a miracle by itself, because they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have GPS. He went where they were praying. And the damsel saw him, and she was so excited, she closed the door on him and went and told everybody. And they didn't believe it. And when they saw him, they were surprised, and they prayed him out of jail. These kind of things, when you see the move of God happening for you in your life, you believe, you took God at his word, and you see the storm stop, like Mr. Austin, he He rebuked that storm. It stopped. I started doing it. It started working. You get surprised at first, but after a while, you get used to it. You expect it. So it is with casting out demons. So it is with getting people healed. So it is with everything. Hearing God's voice. Being guided by the Holy Spirit. These things can surprise you and astonish you at first, but it gets better. Well, you know, and praying to the Lord and praise takes you into His presence. In His presence, you sense that you can do, you made aware that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know it. There's no fear in His presence. And I used to, we had a strong worship team at the church I went to after I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I went to Refuge Temple, and they used to worship God. It was off the charts. And I would worship God and go in His presence at home or while I'm driving. Or sometimes I'd go to the church and just go in the prayer room. They had a beautiful prayer room back there. And I would worship God. And I said, Lord, wait a minute. When I'm in Your presence, I feel like I can do anything. But when I'm at work, I feel useless and weak. And I said, I want You to teach me how to live wherever I am, just like when I'm in Your presence in the prayer room. And I told my pastor what I prayed. And he said, well, you got to come off the mountain. But that sounded right, but it didn't sit well here. The spark that the Lord gave me in His presence, I knew I was on to something. So I didn't tell anybody else what I was doing. I said, Lord, the next time I went in this prayer, I said, I want You to teach me how to live in Your presence wherever I am. And I want to feel just as strong as I am when I'm at work or wherever I am. I want it to be like I'm in Your presence, and I don't want to have fear in my life, and I don't want to feel weak and insignificant. I want it to be just like I'm in Your presence. Well, to make over many years, some things happened. I learned about it. I learned more about authority. I learned who I was in Him. It didn't happen in 1 week. It didn't happen in 1 decade. But anybody can do this. He, in 1990, He had me to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. A healthy intake of the Word of God helped me to see Him, just like I did in the prayer room. When I read scriptures, I had concepts of Him. But when you read chapters and even books, you get a broader picture of Him. And then the Word was, it got in my heart, and then my mind began to be renewed. And I was able to sense His presence wherever I was. More, and it's still growing. But it works. People say, how come you don't get mad? How come you don't? I said, that problem's out there. There's a party going on in here. When you fill your heart with God's word, His voice is louder than the enemy's voice. He's bigger than the problem. He's more important than the wealth and riches. And when it's like that, you can see. When God shows you something, or when you don't miss it. When you have spiritual strength, you're more apt to pray things through. All this comes out of supplication. And she said, there are times when we pray alone, quietly waiting in the presence of God. This is on page 107. But that is not the only time we pray. Prayer is talking to God even when we can't talk abroad. You know, you can pray privately wherever you have to be. She said, my spirit can talk to God in the middle of a store. I can pray about many things as I walk through my day without physically being in a designated place of prayer. We need to learn to cultivate a spirit of prayer as we live our lives in ordinary daily situations. Then our praying will be effective. When we do get to the place of prayer, learning to yield to the spirit of supplication. Now this is worth underlining. Learning to yield to the spirit of supplication will bring us into vital relationship with the Holy Spirit. What happens when the Lord can say something and you hold on to it and you bring it to pass in your life, you do it, that's going to cause you to get to know the Lord. Daniel said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits because you know him. You're getting every time you have a victory, you know something new about God, and it registers in your mind. It registers to you. You can see yourself doing these wonderful things. And then you can see other people's potential. If you see your potential, just like I saw Mr. Austin's potential, I saw my potential. It, things I learned from the Lord, I saw my potential, and then I saw other people's potential. And I can easily say, you can do this. You can always win. You don't have to lose. The Lord gave us perfect victory over our enemy Satan. And all the problems we can have, he gave us victory. But that knowledge comes from spending time with the Lord. All right, now, I'm going to stop with the Lord's Prayer. She said, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what we call the Lord's Prayer, he revealed the nature of the spirit of supplication. In this model prayer, he first instructs us to come reverently to our Father, our Heavenly Father. We come to him reverently, hallowing his name. Then having come to him in a proper attitude, we are to ask for his kingdom to be established and his will to be done in our lives and on this earth. And then she said, after that, he teaches us to ask for our daily bread, our protection from evil. He shows us that these are legitimate needs that we can expect our Heavenly Father to meet. The prayer has an order, reverencing God, like Ray was saying earlier. Praise him and pray to him and study the word. You come into his presence with thanksgiving and you ask for his kingdom to be established, his perfect will in your life. If we, whatever we want, if we pray, at least if we pray for his perfect will to be done in our lives as it is in heaven, we're setting ourselves up under his order. A man may want to marry a woman, but he never asks the Lord about his perfect will. The woman may not fit his perfect will. This happened to Billy Graham. He was engaged before he married Ruth. And he was dedicated to the perfect will of God. And the Lord showed him that this fiancée won't follow me in this area. She won't be what you need. And he broke off the engagement. But Ruth was a fit. He married her. Now, once you're married, you're married. And God can move. But I'm using this analogy because if we put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be in order. You know, if you want a man can pray for a Corvette, but he doesn't know he's about to have triplets. And then he has triplets. Now he got to sell the Corvette and get less for it than what he paid for it and buy a van or something. When you pray God's perfect will, a lot of mistakes don't happen. And then you'll get the Corvette at the right time. God thinks of everything. When you putting him first will save you effort and money. Everything works better. And I tell people all the time, I say, start seeking the Lord now while you're single, while you're alone, while you seek him. And he'll help you organize everything. But people don't do that. Very few people will follow him like that. But you have to start wherever you start. And the Lord will. These things are here to protect us. And the Lord has so much to say to us. All right, we'll stop there. Any comments, questions?